The last case on our calendar is 08462, Patricia Crawford Cole versus Lucas County Department of Job and Family Services. Ms. Henderson.
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the court, my name is Carlene Henderson and I am here on behalf of the Lucas County Department of Job and Family Services. The Attorney General is here as amicus and we would like to split the argument and we would reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. The issue that Lucas County has brought before the court is straightforward. Our position is that the appellate court has wrongfully applied Revised Code 11907 to an administrative rule, creating an unconstitutional conflict where none really exists. There are two separate levels of appeal in when a home daycare certificate is revoked. First and foremost, there is the internal appeal to the county JFS, and this is governed by the Administrative Rule 5101-2-1440. And this review is requested within 10 days of the mailing of the notice that the certificate will be revoked. The hearing is conducted internally by the county agency. That regulation is authorized by specific statutes. 5104.011, which governs type B and type A daycare certificates, and RC 510109, which authorizes the procedure for adoption of rules. This is where the exemption for 11907 exists. The statute specifically states that when the Director of Job and Family Services is authorized by the revised code to adopt a rule, except as otherwise provided by the revised code, the adoption of a rule in accordance with Chapter 119 does not make the Department of Job and Family Services, a county family services agency, subject to the notice, hearing, or other requirements of sections 11906 to 11913 of the revised code. It is our opinion that the 510109 prevents this conflict by exempting the administrative regulation called unconstitutional because the exemption is the controlling statute.
May I just ask you a question here on this statute? It confused me a little bit. The one you just read does not make the Department of Job and Family Services a county family services agency. Does the family service agency refer to jobs and family services as a shorthand for it? Is that what it is, or is there some other kind of agency?
Well, I believe that it does. Because not all of the 88 states have specifically Department of Job and Family Services. They have other county services agencies, so I believe it's a catch-all.
Thank you.
If there are no further questions, I would like to give the remainder of the time to
Thank
the
you,
amicus.
Ms. Henderson. Ms. Thomas.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, Becky Thomas here representing the state as amicus in support of Lucas County JFS. While we agree with the county's position that the statute 5101.09 does contain an exemption that renders the 6th District's decision incorrect, we're also here on a broader issue that can affect the entire 119 system, and that is whether Chapter 119's provisions could apply to a county agency decision anyway. And we ask the court to follow Carrick and hold that 119 applies only to state-level governmental agencies. And because of that, in addition to what the county says, because of that, 11907 did not apply a 30-day deadline here and could not have, even without 5101.09. The Carrick case involved rulemaking functions, but this court, the same statement that the court made in Carrick applies here just as well. And that is that the language in 119.01a that defines agency for purposes of Chapter 119 clearly indicates that the Administrative Procedures Act, which is Chapter 119, applies only to state-level entities. We know that the General Assembly meant that 119 would apply only to state-level governmental entities in other ways as well. One of those ways is 119.10 requires that the Attorney General represent an agency at any adjudicatory hearing held under Chapter 119. Because the Attorney General is the attorney for the state and not for local governments, that's another indication that all of 119, the general scheme, is directed at state government.
But that seems like a bit of a bootstrap argument, isn't it? I mean, if we say the county agency is an agency of the state or is included in the definition of state, then the Attorney General would have to represent them, wouldn't they? I mean, we don't decide the law based upon what the practice of the Attorney General has been, do we?
That's correct, Your Honor. It's not that proves the point. I think it just adds weight to what this court already said in Carrick. It's another indication in the general scheme that this is intended to apply only at the state level. It all falls together very well if we interpret Chapter 119 as applying only to the state level. It does not hang together very well if we start to include local governmental entities.
If we find that we accept your position that 119 doesn't apply to state agencies, do we even need to reach the statutory exemption issue?
If the court agrees with us that 119 does not apply to non-state level entities, then we don't believe you would need to reach that other issue about the statute because it would already cover.
Then what would that statute apply to? What is left for that statute to apply to as exempted? The state agency actions are exempted?
Well, the court wouldn't need to reach it to decide the case. The statute, I believe, is in place possibly for clarification because the Department of Job and Families, the State Department of JFS, is allowed to pass rules that govern daycare. And some of those rules apply directly to county enforcement and monitoring of those. It's possible, I don't know for sure, it's possible that statute is there to make sure that no one confuses the rulemaking function of state JFS with the adjudicatory functions that still only belong to state-level entities. And the statute also points out that just the fact that JFS, the state JFS, passes rules under 119 doesn't automatically, that alone does not make them an agency for purposes of 119. It doesn't mean that they're subject to the hearing requirements in 119. Something else might make them subject to that, but that fact of passing the rules doesn't do so.
I can't recall from the statute language, but does the exemption of 119 apply to all of the state actions of Job and Family Services as well?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I don't think I understand the question.
119 has an exemption that says that it does not apply to Job and Family Services, correct?
If Your Honor's talking about the statute that the prosecutor discussed, that is 5101.09,
right.
That's a general statute that applies to state JFS and authorizes them to pass rules under 119. And includes this exemption that says, and by the way, just because the state JFS is passing rules under 119 doesn't mean, that by itself doesn't make them subject to notice and hearing requirements under 119. So
that's what I'm asking. If the state, what the exemption in 119, the exemption says 119 does not apply to state agency actions with Job and Family Services, in your opinion, applies to state action by the state agency.
And if I'm not being clear, I'm so sorry. The exemption that we're talking about in 5101.09 says just because the agency does and has to pass rules under 119, so 119 would apply for the rulemaking if it's been authorized.
At the state level.
At the state level. That's the only agencies that I know of that pass rules under 119. They're not subject to the notice and hearing. By that fact alone, that doesn't make them subject to the notice and hearing requirements in the other half of Chapter 119. 119 covers two functions that aren't necessarily they don't necessarily go together. There's rulemaking that agencies do, and then there's adjudications that agencies do or make. And they're all contained in 119. And just because an agency is passing rules, that alone doesn't necessarily make them subject, and that's what the statute says about the state JFS. It doesn't necessarily make them subject to the notice and hearing requirements. When the General Assembly wanted to include state and local governments for purposes of provisions in the revised code, it knows how to do so. We've cited several other statutes where the definition of, for example, employer in the whistleblower protection area, a public employer for purposes of collective bargaining by public employees, and some other ones. The definitions there are very, very specific, and they clearly include state. The General Assembly went out of its way to point out that we mean state departments, agencies, officers, and county or whatever else they included in that, possibly maybe some municipal. But the General Assembly drafted those statutes very specifically to show that they included all of them. In 119,
it's a different way to ask the question, to phrase it. It's, the rule says that, except as otherwise required, the adoption of a rule does not make the Department of Job and Family Services, which is the state agency.
That's correct.
A county family services agency, which you maintain is not a state agency.
That's correct.
Or workforce development, which is not, in your opinion, a state agency, subject to the notice hearing requirements. Why, if 119 only applies to the state, why do they need to list the other two entities?
I don't know why those other ones are in there. It's possible, I'm thinking, that when JFS, the state JFS, was told it was going to be passing rules that would govern some of the actions by the counties, perhaps someone thought, gee, we better point out that this doesn't make any of them, by the fact of the passing of the rules under 119, it doesn't make any of them an agency under 119. It doesn't make them for purposes of adjudications, in case there would be some confusion. But I don't know for certain. Chapter 2506 is a statutory scheme existing to allow people to appeal from county decisions. This case, a Type B daycare provider has Chapter 2506 available if they wish to go through the proper procedures and eventually take their case to court. In 2506, it's...
2505-06, that what you're referring to?
2506, 0.01, I believe, allows an appeal from a final county decision to be taken to common pleas court. And it does refer the person back to 2505 for some of the procedural technicalities of that appeal. But 2506-01, I believe, is the statutory authority for an appeal to court from an other than a state level entity. An argument has been raised by Ms. Crawford Cole that there's somehow some delegation happening here that qualifies the county JFS as a state agency, or alternatively, that the county agency is acting as the state when it administers Type B daycare provisions. There is no delegation happening here. The General Assembly placed the duties of monitoring and enforcing the Type B daycare rules and laws, placed that squarely on the counties. It did not pass through the state JFS, so there is no delegation by a state agency to the counties here. It comes directly from the General Assembly. And likewise, the argument that because the state JFS engages in enforcement and monitoring of other kinds of daycare licenses, that somehow that makes the county a state actor because it's doing a different kind of daycare monitoring and enforcement. That's not the case. The county is still acting as the county. By definition, the General Assembly said this is what the county will do, this is what the state will do. There's no delegation, there's no acting, and there's no one stepping into the shoes of the other. It's true that the state JFS has been charged with adopting the rules, which may make plenty of sense when you think about the desire for uniformity across the state, across all 88 counties, to have daycare rules be uniform, and also because the state JFS may be thought to have more experience in that area, might be more efficient to do it that way.
There, your strongest argument seems to me is revised code 5104.01F, right? Which says that the director of the county department of Job and Family Services will certify the homes.
That's correct.
To be an independent authority.
That's correct. The authority's been granted directly to them by the General Assembly. So if the court agrees with us on this proposition that Chapter 119, as the court said in Carrick, applies only at the state level and not at the county level, then we believe the court doesn't need to reach the other issues in this case. And it could either dispose of the case here if it decides that that's the end of the case and the trial court's dismissal was correct, or the common pleas court's dismissal was correct, or if the court decides that perhaps this might survive in some other form, perhaps under 2506, despite Ms. Crawford Cole's claim from the beginning of the court proceedings that this was not a 2506 appeal. If that still has been possibly preserved, the court might decide to remand for further proceedings, but if there are no other questions, then
Ms. Thomas, the case that you keep citing, Karras, is
Carrick.
It? Carrick.
Excuse me, Carrick.
Is that in your brief?
We filed it last week as a notice of additional authority, Your Honor.
Okay, I was looking
it's
at
not
the
in
original
brief. That's right.
Okay, Carrick, right. Thank you.
And in Carrick, the court said that the language in 119.01 clearly indicates that only agencies at the state level of government are covered by the act. And the court focused specifically on those words in 119.01a that says, of the government of the state.
Thank you.
That showed that it was clearly for the state level.
Thank you, Ms. Thomas.
Thank you.
Mr. Lodge.
Mr. Chief Justice, if it please the court, this is a perhaps not very exciting, but a technical and important issue. One thing that occurs to me is that perhaps there was a similar amount of concern on the part of the AG's office when unemployment appeals were statutorily conferred many years ago. I don't know. But the Attorney General's office, I'm sure, would be able to adjust to any workload change. And of course, as Mr. Chief Justice, I believe, pointed out, it's not a concern, should not be a concern of the court in rendering this decision. I'd like to walk through the statutory analysis here just because I think it's important for the court to understand fully the reasoning, which I think was somewhat shorthand delivered, if you will, by the Sixth District in a 3-0 well-reasoned decision. Under ORC 5104.11b, the county Job and Family Services Director may revoke certificates, as has been discussed, under certificates of type B daycare homes. Revised Code 5104.011G, however, requires the State Director of Job and Family Services to promulgate rules pursuant to Chapter 119 of the Revised Code. And the regulations that my client was negatively affected by are some of those very regulations. Revised Code Section 119.12, of course, affords an appeal to Common Pleas Court. Revised Code Section 119.01b calls a license or certificate issued by one that is issued by an agency. It would therefore appear that the revised code treats Type B daycare certificates and revocations of those as the act of an ORC 119.01A2 agency. It's quite a mouthful. I believe that the argument that in effect county job and family services departments are deputized for purposes of implementing and administering the Type B certificate program is a very sound one, is supported by statutory and regulatory law. The Franklin County Court of Appeals has ruled to that effect in the case of Cosby v. Franklin County Department of Job and Family Services, cited at page 11 of the appellee's brief. The court specifically held that that county Department of JFS is an ORC 119.01 agency. The Sixth District, prior to ruling in the instant matter, had ruled in McAtee versus Ottawa County Department of Human Services back, I believe, in the late 1990s, that the statutory scheme, quote, gives authority to certify and allocate funds to type B homes to the county as an agent of the state. And that is, in many respects, logical but commonsensical. What happened to Patricia Cole was, there was an unannounced inspection of her type B certificated home. She had administrative charges, if you will, preferred against her, charges based upon regulations promulgated by the State Department of JFS. She was investigated by an investigator whose specialty is to oversee and implement those very regulations, probably, I would venture to guess, paid by programmatic funds allocated for daycare home management and oversight.
But that home was licensed by the county, not the state, am I correct?
It was, correct, yes. Yes, it was indeed. Interestingly, in its brief, the county acknowledged, if I can find it in my notes, my apology, that yes, the 88 departments of Job and Family Services, assuming that they are named that uniformly across the state, administer regulations and are responsible for certification of type B certificated homes. But the crossover is, in our estimation, that the State Department of Job and Family Services, to encourage uniformity in the administration of commingled federal, state, and local funds, promulgates these regulations. They deputize the counties to handle this responsibility. For type A homes, the state director of Job and Family Services has the direct responsibility for issuing revocations of those certificates, and they are expressly appealable under Chapter 119 of the Ohio Revised Code. So either by implication, we believe, actually by simply reading the statutes and regulations closely and following both the logical and common sense direction that they go, that Chapter 119 must apply to revocations of Type B certificates.
If we were to apply the state's position that it is not a state agency, what would be the remedies to Type B facilities then? What course of action would they pursue to challenge anything?
I would say, Your Honor, that it would certainly remain to the aggrieved certificate holder that they could appeal to the local county court of common pleas under Chapter 2506. But the loss, if you will, is that, as the Sixth District Court of Appeals noted in its opinion, 10 days is a very short period of time. The Administrative Procedures Act 30-day notice opportunity is far more generous, beneficial, and we believe proper in these cases. In these cases, you're typically not going to have daycare providers who are represented by counsel. This is not high-paying contract work, although, as I understand it, my client being one of them, people do make a living providing daycare services of this sort. But it's not as though the system would instantaneously be clogged with lawyers simply because the 30-day limit were substituted for the 10-day limit.
Counsel, there is an argument to be made for a public policy adopted by the agency in its rules that this requires, because it involves children, more rapid action and decision than other agency decisions would be. Wouldn't that be a logical policy choice by a state agency promulgating rules that you'd have a shorter time frame where you have a question of whether or not children's safety is involved? And I'm not arguing the merits of this particular case,
sure,
but just in general, you wouldn't, would you want a daycare that center that that the department felt there were problems with or was unauthorized to continue operating for an additional 30 days when children their welfare is at stake?
Well, as I understand it, sir, the no, I wouldn't. Of course not. but
that was a rhetorical question, sort of.
I would submit that there are procedures in place within the administrative code that allow direct and immediate intervention. Among those, of course, is always a referral to the local child welfare agency, whether or not that is part of the county JFS, as it is not in, in many of the larger urban counties of the state, of course. And there is also some discretion apparently accorded under the specific provisions of the Ohio Administrative Code that we've been talking about in this appeal. So there is presently on the books the power to do that sort of thing. I believe Your Honor's question was maybe that is it the state policy that these types of appeals should be accelerated? Was that your question? As I say, I think that there are provisions for intervention in a terribly egregious situation, and I realize you're not asking about specific facts here, but despite the fact that my client was charged with having too many children in her home during the inspection, there was not an obligatory referral, and I can't remember, it's in the statement of facts, but no obligatory referral was made to the state level Department of Job and Family Services. But there are intervention opportunities, and I have, in handling 2506 appeals, I don't see much acceleration that happens at the Common Pleas Court level, depending on the source of, or the basis for those appeals.
But counsel, when they've gotten to the Common Pleas Court, the children are no longer at the daycare center,
are they?
That's
correct.
Yes. The danger, if there was a danger, an allegation, and here it's because of overcrowding, that's not, when you say it's not proceeding through the Common Pleas Court to address exigency, it doesn't matter at that point.
Yes, that is correct.
Again, if we find in your favor that the the local agency is classified under 119 for the administrative procedures, do you think that the case of Jones versus Chagrin Falls resolves the issue in your favor?
I believe it would. Yes.
Because it doesn't seem to have many exceptions. It simply says that if you file a declaratory judgment action, and yours is a declaratory judgment action for ruling the 10-day period is invalid, and that doesn't seem to require under Jones that you exhaust any administrative remedies first.
That, Your Honor, that's a good point. I guess I would retract my response. I believe that the problem is I've seen court precedent that says you can't file a declaratory judgment action and a 2506 appeal as part of the same pleading document, that they must be filed as separate actions. So in essence, the problem procedurally is that since they can't be combined, you actually have to make a choice. I would say that a 2506 appeal is the only option that would remain. We actually brought an appeal without designating what statute the administrative appeal was taken under, specifically because by the time Ms. Crawford Cole came to me, I recognized that there may be a Chapter 119 problem or conflict.
It seems to me, I want to go back to the definition of agency because I think that's the controlling issue here. Language is of the government of the state. If we were to hold that this county agency is a bureau or a board or whatever, a department of the government of the state, that's precedent that it seems to me could be applied to many boards or commissions, local boards, entities of local government. That's you're asking us to interpret government of the state very broadly, it seems to me, that would have implications beyond this case.
With respect, Your Honor, I believe that the circumstances of actually handing Ohio Administrative Code regulations to implement and oversee is the demarcating point, that in effect the local agency acts as a state agency for that limited set of purposes.
But what, tell me, what language do you there should be some express language, as counsel for the appellant argues. The General Assembly knows how to say that if that's their intention. Now, they just missed this one, or what?
I'm not sure. It's very difficult to say, Your Honor. I would speculate that the General Assembly believes that it may have spoken clearly enough by giving the regulation promulgatory, however you say that word, authority to the state director, with, of course, a mandate to ensure uniformity of the implementation and administration of those regulations statewide. I do think that there is an argument, and a strong and compelling one, that in effect, county departments of Job and Family Services are performing this quasi-judicial function as the state department of Job and Family Services. It's not an accident that they adopt the state name. When welfare departments became departments, the State Department of Human Services was formed out of the State Department of Public Welfare, county agencies filed suit. Same happened when statutorily the State Department of Job and Family Services was formed, county entities followed suit there. I think that is because of the need to maintain uniformity of approach and of administration of the regulatory and statutory obligations run down through the department.
Even if we find that it is not, even if we find it is a state agency, then we still have to deal with the section that says these agencies under Job and Family Services are exempt from the 119 requirements.
Your Honor, I believe that is remedied. The clause, except as otherwise required by the revised code, would bring into play revised code section 5104.11b, where the county JFS director is empowered to revoke type B certificates.
Counsel, they are almost a state agency, aren't they?
Yes.
I mean, in terms of, I don't know the exact demarcation of how much the county commissioners control. I'll learn more about that this afternoon when Justice Cupp educates me, but highly regulated and controlled by the state in terms of their operations, the services they provide, the money that they provide.
That's correct.
Not much discretion in terms of the county, is there?
And it actually emanates to some extent from the federal tier.
Yeah.
But it's commingled federal, state, and local money in different proportions depending on the program involved. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lodge. Ms. Henderson, you say you've use your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
Thank you, Your Honor. Or hopefully it's okay if I do this rebuttal.
Ms. Thomas, doesn't matter to me which one of you wants to take rebuttal.
Thank you. The county is not a state agency. It doesn't do what the state agency does. The powers for the state JFS have been conferred upon it by the General Assembly. The powers that the county has been conferred upon it by the General Assembly. The State Department passes the rules as it's been empowered to do, but the power to deal with those rules, to enforce them, to license and to revoke licenses for Type B, that is squarely placed on this county JFS by the General Assembly. As counsel, discussed, and as the court was interested in knowing, 2506 provides a right of appeal if a Type B daycare provider follows the correct procedures and disagrees with what the county JFS has done regarding its certification. The cases that are mentioned by Ms. Crawford Cole's counsel, the Cosby case, the Miller case, several other cases we've talked about, a couple of those cases didn't discuss why they applied 119. One of them missed the definition of agency in 119.01, which might have solved the problem had the court's attention been called to it. A couple of the other cases, one said it was delegated. It didn't really explain how it came to the conclusion of delegation, which we've argued here. There was no delegation. and the Gamblin case from back in 93 was based on language that's no longer in existence. So none of those cases that have held 119 applicable to type Bs is correct and or should be followed by this court or given any weight here.
Let me ask you a question. I assume that under, if the director of the county department either fails to certify or does certify a home, there's no provision for the director of the state Job and Family Services to overrule that decision, is there?
I don't believe there is, Your Honor. I'm not aware of anything that gives the power to JFS, to state JFS to do that. If there are no further questions.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. The marshal, please adjourn court.
All rise.